Last week we were looking, as you remember, we were looking in the book of Luke chapter 9, and we had been looking, or Luke 19, I mean, we had been looking at the different individuals that had received money to be able to work and to occupy until the master or the Lord returned from going to receive his kingdom. And we had talked about how that each one was given the same amount. They were each given a good amount of money to work with, all that they needed to work with. And some of them went and invested that money, and they received a great return on it. And so when the Lord came back, he was happy with them and said, "You've been faithful over little, now be ruler over much." But when he came to the one who didn't do anything with the kingdom that he had received, he took the kingdom, he took the money away from him and gave it to the one who had the best return on the kingdom and what he had been working with. And we talked about how that those who have will receive more, and those who have not, even what they think they have, will be taken from them and given to someone else. And of course, when you look historically at how that Christ was speaking to the Pharisees and speaking to the Jews, a lot of people say this is the ultimate fulfillment of that. They had the kingdom right there in their midst. They did not recognize the day of their visitation. So the Lord took that kingdom and gave it to somebody else. Paul would say, we as Gentiles have been grafted into the vine. And so we are grateful that we've been able to receive the kingdom of God as Gentiles, and we didn't have to go through all of the procedures of becoming a Jew. Now, all that said, we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 21 tonight. And again, these, what we're going to be looking at, could in some ways have parallels with what we talked about last week. We're going to look at three different types of citizens that are in the kingdom. Three different types of citizens that are in the kingdom. And so as we're going to be looking in Matthew 20 and Matthew 21, we're going to see three different parables that Jesus gave that have similarities, and also in many regards have similarities to some of the other parables that we've already talked about. But we're going to be looking at three different types of citizens, three different types of people that are sent out to work in the master's field, out to work in the master's kingdom. So we begin in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?'" I want you to think about that. All day. It's the 11th hour. There's only 1 hour left to work in the workday. And he comes out and finds those who've been idle all day. They've not done anything at all day except stand around. All right? Get that in your mind and be thinking about that. Verse 7, "They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first will be last, for many are called, but few are chosen." Now, I want you to really pay attention to some of the things we're going to point out. I know we've looked at this passage of Scripture over and over again in different contexts. The context in particular that I want us to look at this at is the type of citizen that is here. This is somebody who has been going out into the marketplace waiting to be hired. This first type of citizen that we find in the kingdom that we're looking at tonight is the laborer. The laborer. This is the first type of citizen in the kingdom of God. This is someone who has been hired to come and to labor, has been hired to come and to work. They've each agreed to work for the exact same amount, although those at the end don't even understand what they're working for. Remember, those who began at the beginning were each promised how much? A denarius, one day's wages, a pence, a penny, depending on which translation that you have. They were each promised the same amount at the beginning. Then over the course of the day, as the day progressed and the landowner realized that the harvest wasn't going to be completely brought in before the sun set, he then goes and begins to get others to come and to work in the field, each one coming and agreeing to work for whatever the price would be. Now, when he comes to the end, when he comes to that 11th hour, that final hour of the workday, he goes out and finds a group of people that have not been hired throughout the day. So these are the people that nobody else wanted to hire. These are the ones that couldn't find a job under the old deal or the new deal. These are the ones that didn't benefit from the economic stimulus package. All right? These are the ones who, no matter what, they could not find a job. Now, that brings all kinds of questions to mind. The best of the best were the ones that were out there at the beginning, and those were the ones that were hired first. When he went back out the next time, he was not going for the best of the best. He was going for whatever he could find that could do the work. And when he comes to the 11th hour, the only ones that are left are those that are desperate, but they're also the ones that nobody else wanted. And so he calls them and says, I will give you something special. They don't even know what they're working for. All they know is that the Lord has come and asked them to work. Now, this is important. This is something that we really need to get into our hearts and into our minds. There have been people that have worked hard for the Lord that understood exactly why they were working, because they were going to get a reward. How many times have we talked about the crown that's laid up for us, right? How many times have we talked about the mansion in the sky? You know, we paint this beautiful picture. Now, when Jesus is telling this parable, he's telling it to Jews. And the Jews are thinking, well, you know, at the beginning, it was Moses and all of the people in the wilderness. You know, they received that first covenant. And they receive, or you could even go back further and say it may have been Abraham who received the first covenant. But here you have Moses, you know, and all the people following him. And they've been working hard. And then you had the next generation. You had the prophets who came. And the prophets, they've been working hard. And then after that, you have the lawyers. You have the Pharisees and the Sadducees who have come and taken the law and begun to try and break it apart. The scribes, so that everybody can try and understand. So you have all of the law and the prophets coming up into that 11th hour. But in that 11th hour, Jesus didn't go after the Pharisees. Some Pharisees came to him. Nicodemus, right? Some Pharisees came to him. He didn't go after them. They came to him. But who did he go after? He said he was going after the lost sheep of Israel. He went after those who were not well. Why? Because he said those who are well have no need of a physician. So in the 11th hour, he was going after those that nobody else wanted. He went after fishermen. Nobody wanted fishermen to be the leaders of their religious movements. Fishermen were rough men. They weren't the kind of people you wanted to establish a movement on. He went after tax collectors. Matthew. He went after tax collectors. He went after the people that nobody else wanted. Everybody hated the tax collectors because they took advantage of the people that they took the taxes from. As long as they were getting the tax dollar that the government wanted, they then could add on to it whatever percentage that they wanted and take that as their own. And that was how they made their living. Nobody liked tax collectors. Not only that, he was accused of going after winebibbers. I love that word from the King James. Wine bibbers. What are wine bibbers? They're drunks, alcoholics. These are the kind of people that Jesus was building his kingdom on. And he knew that there were going to be those of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were going to say, oh, but these guys are not as good as Moses, and not as good as, if you want to go back all the way to Abraham, they're not as good as the prophets, and they're not as good as all of us scribes. But Jesus knew something they didn't know. He knew that the hour was later than it had ever been before. He knew that there was only a short period of time. Now, I want to, you know, put this in the context of eternity. 2,000 years in the context of eternity is not a very long period of time. Especially if you're going to take that which the people have been instructed in Jerusalem, and now you're going to scatter it all over the world so that everybody has an equal share in the kingdom. Are you with me tonight? 2,000 years later, guess what? If the 11th hour began when Jesus was here with the disciples, and now here we are, flash forward 2,000 years later, how much later in that 1 hour is it? Now we're getting to the place where it's no longer about working for the reward, although we still talk about the reward. It's no longer about working for that mansion in the sky, because you know what? We learned we're not saved by our works. Saved by grace through faith, right? That not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we understand now we're not working for that wonderful mansion in the sky. That's just something Jesus is preparing for us. Eye has not seen or ear heard, right? There's a lot of things we don't even understand now. But you know what? We're not working for that. We're not working just for the crown that's coming, even though Paul told us about the crown and now that it's laid up for us. What are we working for? We're working for the Lord who has hired us in this last hour. And some of us may have been alcoholics, and some of us may have been drunks, some of us may have been drug addicts. There's all kinds of things that we may have been, but we're not anymore. Galatians chapter 5. The Lord has been taking me to Galatians chapter 5 for the past couple weeks, and I don't know why that is. I may end up at some point in time just doing a series from Galatians chapter 5 alone. But it's interesting because the Lord is speaking through Paul. And through Paul, the Lord tells us that there are all kinds of things that will keep you from being a part of the kingdom of God. I mean, it literally says that. These people will not inherit the kingdom. And then lists all the different types of sins. And one of the sins that's listed is drunkenness. And it's interesting because you have all of these different things here. And a lot of the things that are listed in that list are the same kind of people that Jesus went after. And so somebody might look at that and say, well, wait a second. Jesus went after these kind of people, so why is Paul saying they're not going to inherit the kingdom? Well, then he says, this is what you used to be. He says, but now, on the other side, he says, now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, kindness, goodness, faith. Against such there is no law. And it's interesting because he draws this distinction between who we used to be and who we are now. Back then, we used to do the works of sin. But now, we have the fruit of the Spirit growing in us automatically. It's natural. At some point in time, that fruit of the Spirit better counteract all of your memories of who we used to be, right? So I paint that picture for you because in this last hour, we have a hard time because we remember we were the 11th hour people. We were the ones that nobody else wanted. And it's amazing to me because in this 11th hour, you know, this 11th hour, the last days of earth, as we know it, were begun, if you want to get technical, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I believe, there on the day of Pentecost. And then come back over to the late 1800s, and you see the re-outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Pentecostal awakening. And now here we are 100 years later. 100 years later. We are in this 11th hour. We've come into it at a late time, but God is giving us everything that we need to do the work in a greater way. And now there are more souls being saved than there's ever been in all of history. We don't see it in America, but we see it everywhere else in the world. Why is that? It's because of this 11th hour. And this Pentecostal awakening, it didn't happen among the religious elite. It didn't happen among the modern-day Pharisees and scribes. It happened among the mountain people in eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina. It happened among the bums out in Azusa Street. In the 11th hour, God isn't picky. Oh, he's looking for a holy people, don't get me wrong. But he'll take you just like you are, and he'll make you holy. And so in this 11th hour, these people come and they are the first ones to see the Lord. They're the first ones to see him. And they receive their award, their reward. And when they receive it, all those who had been working for longer, they get jealous. How come these that are last, who didn't have to labor as hard as us? How come these who didn't have to be martyred? How come they are receiving the same thing we're receiving? And the master says, it's because I want to give good gifts. It's not wrong for me to want to give good things, no matter how much time that we've put in. So this first citizen of the kingdom, this is the laborer. This is the one who's been hired to do the work. All right? Let's look at the second one. Matthew chapter 21, we're going to skip ahead to verse 28. Matthew 21, verse 28. While you're turning there to Matthew 21, 28, what happens in between what we've already read and what we're getting ready to read is Jesus begins to explain to his disciples the cost of the kingdom in the fact that Jesus is going to have to lay down his life. In addition to that, he explains to his disciples the whole concept of servant leadership, that the leaders are not the ones who raise themselves up and lord it over everybody, but they have to be a servant to everyone. The least become the greatest, and the greatest become the least. And then after that, when we get into Matthew chapter 21, you have the whole proclamation that Jesus is coming in the name of the Lord. You have the whole Palm Sunday thing that we're getting ready to celebrate this coming Sunday. On the heels of that, you've got some Pharisees, they're getting disturbed, they're getting upset, because remember, Jesus is teaching them that those who are going to be hired in the 11th hour are just as important as those that were hired at the first hour, that God's going to give everybody the same reward. It's not going to be more for Moses than it is for Ian and Joshua when they get to heaven. We all receive the same reward, but those at the end, they're not doing it for the reward, they're doing it for the Lord. So Matthew 21, verse 28, Jesus says, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. Now, I want you to pay attention to what Jesus is saying. We've already talked about the laborer, that first aspect of the citizen of the kingdom. The second aspect, the second type of citizen, is that of a son. This is an heir. This is somebody who's supposed to receive the kingdom automatically. They're in the family. And of course, when Jesus is saying this to the Jews, they're thinking, what's he talking about? Is God going to find somebody other than Abraham to give the kingdom to? Are you with me tonight? I want to make sure. So here he's telling them this. He says there's two sons. Two sons. One of them is told, go and work in the vineyard. And he says, no, daddy, I'm not going to do it. I don't care what you do. Ground me. Take away my DS. Take away my Wii. For those of you that don't know what that is, that's what the kids all want. That's their reward. These games that they play. If we want to make them a little bit older, take away my keys for the car. Take away my allowance. I'm not going to work in the vineyard. I'm not going to go and work in the field. Find somebody else to do it. And so he turns to the other son and says, will you go and work? And the other son says, yes, Dad. You know I love you. I love you so much. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You're the best dad in the world. And because I love you so much, I'm going to go and I'll take care of the whole field myself. right? But the first one who said, I will not go, he relents. He changes his mind and he says, you know what? I need to go and do what Dad asked me to do. And so he goes out into the field and he begins to work. And he keeps on working, doing the best that he can. Why? Remember in the connotation that we're looking at, we're in the 11th hour. We're in a time frame where we're running out of time. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you can look at the sun, how that the sun sets and how that the sun rises, and you can discern what the weather's going to be like. This was important. This was an important concept for them because they paid attention to the moon and to the stars to know what the calendar was, what point they were in the year, and they could pretty much determine when the first frost was going to come, if there was going to be a frost. They could pretty much determine when they were going to be in danger of losing whatever was left in the harvest because of scorching heat. They could do these things simply by watching the sun, the clouds, the stars, and the moon. Brilliant. And so the master knows he's got to get that harvest in at this hour. And so he's come to the place where he's sending his sons out to do the work. The first son said, no, I won't go, but he relents. He goes out and anyway. But what about, and does it anyway. What about that one who said, I love you so much, I'm going to go and do it. Oh, you know, Daddy, you can depend on me. You can rely on me. And he never makes it out into the field. He never goes. I want you to really pay attention to these two sons. Because in this hour that we're living, it's not about your confession. Are you with me? I want you to pay close attention to what I'm going to say. I know that we confess and the Lord forgives us. That's not what I'm talking about. I know we confess Jesus Christ is Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not about your confession. It's about your actions that speak louder than your confession. We got a lot of people that profess that they are Christians, but they don't have any fruit. We have a lot of people that claim to be following Jesus, but they have sin running rampant in their lives. And you know, we all need to be careful because every time we put one finger out, remember the old saying, we got more fingers pointing back. But we have this situation where we've got a lot of Christians that somehow think they're doing God a favor if they just show up for church. But they never do anything for the kingdom. They never do anything to reach the lost. Now, I'm grateful to have you guys. I'm grateful to have a church like this, that at the very least you try to reach your family. What a better place to start. And many of you, you're reaching beyond your family. You're reaching into your neighborhood, into your neighbor's lives, into your friends' lives. That's awesome. Don't stop. Keep going. Why? Because it's a late hour. But the point is, just like in that 11th hour, those who nobody else wanted were the ones who got hired. So it was with these sons. The one who said, I wouldn't go, is the one who went. The one who said, I will go, is the one who didn't. And so Jesus said, which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, well, it was the first one, the one who said, I wouldn't go. And then he said, this is the way that it is between you, the Pharisees, and the tax collectors and the prostitutes. The tax collectors and the prostitutes, when they heard that they needed to repent and bring forth works, meet for repentance, come and be baptized in the Jordan, they came out in droves. And when the Pharisees saw it, instead of they themselves coming and saying, oh, I need to go through this too, they distanced themselves. Now, there's one passage, and I don't know when, if we'll even get to it, but Jesus tells the Pharisees, he says, you know what? You are intentionally keeping people out of the kingdom of God, and you yourself are not even willing to go there. And this is the kind of a way that they were. And Jesus said, this is why the tax collectors and the harlots, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, the people that nobody wants to be around, this is why they receive the kingdom so much easier. One of the problems that we have in the Western church today is we stopped going after the ones that nobody else wanted, and we started going after the ones that everybody wants. And so you know what happens because we go after the ones that everybody else wants? We all end up going after the same people. And so they stick in one church for 3 or 4 years, and they go to another church for 3 and 4 years, and to another church for 3 and 4 years. Why? Because we're constantly focusing on the ones that everybody wants, the well who don't need the physician. And Jesus said, you know what? The one that the master's looking for is not the one that says, yes, Lord, I love you, and I'm going to do whatever you want to do. It's the one who actually does it. So we've looked at two types of citizens already in the kingdom. The first one being the laborer, the second one being the son. And when we see the laborers, they're all working for the same prize. They all get the same award, even if they come in at the end and don't even know what they're working for, because Jesus said, I'm going to give you something good. Didn't say what it was. He just said, go and work and I'll give you something special. And so they went to work for the Lord. So we see the laborers are all working for the same thing. We see with the sons that there are those who say that they're going to do the kingdom and they don't do the kingdom. And there are those who say, I'm not going to do the kingdom, but they end up living it out anyway. It's all about the way you live. It's all about the choices that you make and the actions that you take, not the words that you say. All right? Now let's go on to the next one. We're going to skip ahead a few more. Well, no, we're going to go right on ahead to verse 33. Verse 33, Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner. Here we are again. This is the same thing that we've been looking at now in the past two parables. There's a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And look at this. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. He leased it. You know what a lease is, right? It's where you own it, but you give the person the opportunity to kind of pay you something like rent, but there's like a shared ownership. It's like a partnership that you have. And at some point in time, either the one who originally owns it ends up taking full control of it and takes it back to themselves, or else the person who's been renting it, so to speak, buys it out from the person they've been leasing it from. All right? So this is the kingdom. You have people that are leasing the kingdom, leasing the vineyard, while the owner goes into a far country. Verse 34, now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took the servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent out other servants, more than the first. And they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. What's his inheritance? It's the vineyard. Because they've not been paying what they're supposed to be paying. Because they've not been really giving to the one who owns it what they're supposed to be giving. They're in a lease agreement, but they're not really keeping their end of the bargain. And now they've said, we're going to kill the heir so that we can get his inheritance. The inheritance is what they're fighting over. They're fighting over the kingdom. Who's going to be in control of the kingdom? Who's going to have the kingdom? Who's going to get the harvest? Who's going to make all the money off of it? Whose church is going to grow the most? Should I even go there? Listen. They said, we're going to kill him and seize his inheritance. Verse 39, so they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. So many times we just focus right there because we're built on that cornerstone. But look on. He says, this was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. Verse 43, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. That's kind of harsh. Jesus is saying, listen, folks. He says, you're looking at the heir. The kingdom belongs to me. I inherit the kingdom from my Father. And I've come to collect. It's time to pay your dues. But you are the lessees. You've been leasing this from my Father. And you've refused to give him the fruit. You've refused to pay the price. And because of it, he sent servants. He sent you the law, and he sent you the prophets to try and get your attention. But you were so caught up in trying to make it your own kingdom that you killed, or that you sent everyone away shamefully, whoever came to try and bring you to the place where you give the fruit to the owner of the kingdom. And so now my Father has sent his Son to you to show you that it's time to get everything right, to settle up accounts. And now here I am, the heir, and you're going to kill me. You read on down, it says the Pharisees perceived that he was talking about them. They're pretty smart folks, huh? They understood he was talking about them. But I want you to also look at this. He said, if you're not going to surrender the fruit, if you're not going to give the kingdom back to God, if you're going to try and control it and keep it to yourself and make it happen the way you want it to happen, then guess what? My Father's going to come, he's going to destroy you, and he's going to take the kingdom from you, and he's going to give it to another nation. Now, we need to understand, when we're talking about nations, the mindset of the Jew, it's not just talking about a country, it's talking about a people group. And usually they drew a distinction between the Jews, the Samaritans, and the pagans. Now, sometimes they would draw further distinctions within the pagans and say, well, you know, the pagans, you also have the Egyptians, you have the Assyrians, you have this group and that group. But when he says it would be given to another nation, he's not talking about a country. He's talking about a people. He's talking about the same people that Peter says we are. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, right? That's who we are. And so Jesus is saying, I'm going to take this kingdom. This kingdom is going to be given to somebody else because you are not willing to surrender it back to the one who owns it. Now, this is why this is important to us, because we're not just talking about a history lesson tonight. Are we? These parables mean just as much to us as they meant to the Jews almost 2,000 years ago. Because while we may not have the Pharisees here telling us what's going to be done, sometimes we get a Pharisaic spirit. Right? We have to be very careful because there are still three types of citizens that we're looking at here. I know you could take last week what we talked about with the stewards and you could bring that in. There's another parable altogether about stewards. And we're going to look at that in the future too. But here's the thing. What we're looking at here, three different types of citizens. The laborers, the sons, and the lessees. The ones who are leasing the vineyard. Which group do we fall into? We can fall into the lessees who think that, you know what? Hey, I'm going to pay my way through, but it's going to be done on my terms, the way that I want to do it. And at the end of the day, it's not really God's, it's mine. And when we have that kind of a mindset, then we also get the mindset of, that's not really God's church, that's my church. That's not really God's ministry, that's my ministry. And we begin to take control away from God, just like the Pharisees did. And we begin to say, oh, you know what, this is the way that it's got to be done, because if we don't do it my way, then you know what, it's not ever going to happen. When God is saying, hey, it's my kingdom, be willing to give me the fruit, and you know what, everything will be okay. We don't want to be like the lessees. We don't want to be the ones who are unwilling to give control of the kingdom back to God. We don't want to be the ones that make it all about our church and our church alone. We want to be like the son who, though he may have said, I'm not going to do it, he went ahead and did it anyway. We want to be like the workers in the 11th hour who, while nobody else would hire them, they said, you know what, we'll go out and we'll work for you. Not knowing what it is that we'll get. We're desperate. But we'll go out and we'll work for you. Maybe some of us, we are those that went out earlier in the day and we've been working in the heat of the day and we've really carried the burden. But we keep on working until that 12th hour. Because if we don't, God's going to take the kingdom away. just like we talked about last week. He'll take the kingdom away and he'll find somebody else that he can give it to. It's up to us. We choose. Which one are we going to be a part of? Are we going to be a part of the laborers in the vineyard? Are we going to be like that son who goes and joins with the laborers in the vineyard and goes out and works? Or are we going to be like the lessees who just chase everybody off, who tries to take that which belongs to God? Which one will we be like? Hopefully we'll be like the sons who do the work. Hopefully we'll be like the laborers, whether it's in the morning or in the evening, that we get hired. But we're all going to work together because we love our Lord. So it's not about what we say. It's what we do. Before we close tonight, I want to open it up for any comments or questions tonight. I know this is a little bit different. We didn't break it down quite like what we normally would. And of course, there's so much to cover, because the more I think, you know, I can keep these kingdom lessons so simple and so short. And then I start looking and I'm like, how in the world am I going to get through this before the end of the year? You know? I mean, think about it. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. So if you really want to get technical, the entire first four books of our New Testament are the message of the kingdom. So I try to keep it as simple as I can. I try to really narrow it down and bring it to a focus. So hopefully we've accomplished that tonight. But do you have any comments or questions based upon what we've looked at tonight, or maybe even what we've been looking at in the weeks gone by? Any comments or questions? So quiet, you can hear a pin drop. So does that mean that I just explained it so well that nobody has any questions? At least that's what I'll keep telling myself, right? Well, praise the Lord. Well, tonight, as we go to the Lord, let us take this time to really just confess to him that maybe we've been like that son who said, God, I'm going to do something for your kingdom, but we didn't do it. Maybe we've been like those workers who were hired earlier in the day, and we get upset when we see those that are hired later getting the same benefits that we're getting. Maybe we're even like the lessees who somehow we think that we own it, that it's ours instead of God's. Wherever it is that we fall in that spectrum, let us focus in on saying, God, let me be the son who actually goes and does the work. Let me be the worker who just goes out and works for you, regardless of what the reward is. And if we can get that kind of a mentality in our minds and in our hearts, and we begin doing things for the kingdom, not because the preacher told us to, but because we know that that's just a sign that we really love the Lord, then things will change drastically in our individual lives, in our congregation, and eventually in this entire region, if we can really get a hold of what it means to live in the kingdom. God will show up in a powerful way. Amen. So let's stand tonight and let's go to the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you in Jesus' name. And God, we confess that sometimes we are like those who have been hired early in the day. And Lord, we complain about those who come in toward the end, that, Lord, they get the same as us. That, Lord, they don't even know as much as us, but yet they get the same as us. That, Lord, we don't understand it because they're not as good of a preacher, as they're not as talented, and they don't seem to live the way that, Lord, we've always lived. But yet, God, you use them, and you mold them, and you shape them, and you do great things in that last hour through them so that we can bring in the harvest. Help us not to be jealous. And Father, help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, to not be like the son who said he would work for you but didn't do anything. Let us be, Lord God, like that son who may have said, I'm not going to do it, but because we desire to go out and to do something for you, that, Lord, we'll go out into the field and we'll work anyway. The Lord will work even when we think that we weren't going to work. That, God, we were all used up and we couldn't do anything more for the kingdom. That, God, we're going to be willing to step out and to do something for you. Something for your glory. Something, God, for your kingdom. Father, never let us be like the lessees who thought that they could control the kingdom, who thought it was really all about them and it was all about what they could have. And they tried to own it themselves. But instead, Lord God, let us be the kingdom that receives you, that has fruit, that has an abundance of fruit, that, Lord, we're willing to give you the entire kingdom because it's yours to begin with. So, God, in Jesus' name, let these words really sink in, and Lord, let them do a work in us so that you can do a greater work through us. And Father, we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor because, Lord, you alone are worthy, and we truly love you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.